And I wanted to start out by asking, is it important for the church to continue preaching the gospel to the world? I was recently asked if the work had been finished by Mr. Armstrong. This includes the blessing of the work by God, and whether there was a duty for the church to continue preaching the gospel. Now, we've, as a church, have written extensive articles on what the gospel is. We've heard message about it. We even have a booklet entitled The Gospel of the Kingdom of God. But can we say that we individually understand what the gospel of God is fully? Do we have a firm grasp on what the gospel stands for, what it's about? Is it a staple in our lives? Do we set the kingdom of God as a goal in our lives? You know, to be able to understand something fully, you have to embrace it. You have to spend time and energy in understanding it. You know, you don't go to a new job and instantly know how to do it. No, it takes study. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, it says, give a reason for the hope that you have. You know, if we don't have a good understanding of what the gospel is and all that it entails, then how can we give a defense? Now, in order to fully, you know, describe the gospel and all its many details, that would take at least one sermon, maybe two, maybe more. So I didn't really want to go into that part of it today, because there's so much information that we have. And if you need that information, it's there. Now, as I mentioned, one of the great pieces is the Gospel of the Kingdom of God, the booklet that we have. But let's turn over to Matthew 28, and we'll begin in verse 18. We see that Christ had already died and risen. And this is before he descends. And he says here in verse 16, the Great Commission. And then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed to them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. You know, this is a commandment that Christ gives after his resurrection. He's commanding the disciples here to go and preach the gospel. It doesn't say here until the time of the Philadelphian era is over, then you quit preaching the gospel. No, it says, no, I am with you always until the end. The apostles died, their end came. Did the gospel stop being preached? No. If you look through history and do research, you find pockets of people holding fast to the truth, to the core doctrines. And then as time goes, they too fade away. But look what happened with Mr. Armstrong. God did use him powerfully, just as he used Paul and other early disciples. So why should we stop preaching the gospel now? I think rather it's needed more now than ever. Let's look at Isaiah 58 and verse 1. says, "Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins." Spare not. Lift up your voice. You know, the gospel does include preaching about warning. And let's look over in Ezekiel about God's dire warning about not preaching the gospel. If you will, turn to Ezekiel 3, and we'll look at verse 5. We'll read to verse 5 to 9. It says, Ezekiel 3, 5, "For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech or of hard language, but to where? The house of Israel. Not to many people of unfamiliar speech and of hard tongue, whose words you can't understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel will not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against the faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like a damned stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house." Ezekiel's warning was to the children of Israel, to those dispersed. We've heard the last three sermons going into pieces of this. Let's also drop down to 17, verse 17 of Ezekiel 3. It says, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Give therefore hear a word from me, from my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,' and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet, if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul." The job of a watchman, then, is something that we have to continue to do. Our weekly video is called Standing Watch. It's obviously a direct reference to this. Let's also jump to chapter 33 of Ezekiel. Because God considered this so important that he had told Ezekiel this same thing twice. Ezekiel 33, and beginning in verse 2, says, "Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, 'When I bring the sword upon a land, the people of the land shall take a man from their territory and make him their watchman. And when he sees a sword coming upon the land, if he blows a trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head.'" Verse 6, "But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand." As I mentioned, the job of warning and preaching the gospel go hand in hand. It's exactly what Mr. Armstrong did. And it's what God's true church must continue to do today. Look at what Paul had to say to Timothy. Over in 2 Timothy 3, and we'll look at verse 1. Second Timothy 3 and verse 1, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters and proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, and despisers of good. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away. These terrible days that Paul is warning Timothy about, those days are here today. If you look at the news, if you look at society, each and every one of these attributes is in full swing. But let's look at what happens in verse 7. It says, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Now I had to look up who Jannes and Jambres was, because I didn't know. And a lot of the commentaries that I was reading said that they were the Egyptian magicians. They were the ones who had resisted Moses when Moses first came to Pharaoh. Now these men had lots of learning. They were well steeped in doctrines, but in the doctrines of demons. You know, they opposed Moses greatly in the beginning. And if you read the story of Moses, you find that the magicians were able to conjure up three of the plagues that Moses also did. But in so doing, they actually helped to harden Pharaoh's heart each time they did that. You know, it wasn't until the plague of the gnats that the magicians finally pointed out that they couldn't do it anymore, and that it was God that was doing these plagues. And so we have to be careful of these types of people. People who are constantly trying to learn. As it says, their folly will be manifest to all in time. But now let's look at verse 10, and we'll read to verse 13. Paul says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance. Persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Teaching, conduct, and purpose. These were the things which Paul laid down his life for. Even to the point of coming to where he was in chains in Rome. Let's drop down to verse 14. It says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for the salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given for inspiration, by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Being able to understand the Bible and the gospel is given by God. And it's a responsibility that falls on all of us who have been called. Let's look over at Titus 1. Well, it was here yesterday. I don't think it jumped out of my Bible. Next to what? That's next to 2 Timothy. See? It's here somewhere. There it is. It's the right book. Right after 2 Timothy. What do you know? Titus 1 and verse 5 says, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I command you." See here that Paul is telling Titus that to bring up people, men, who are fit in preaching the gospel. And then let's look at verse 10 and through 16. It says, "For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain." Verse 15, "To the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving nothing is pure, but even their minds and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work." So you see the two types of people. Ones who are ready for good works and those who are not. You know, deception, self-deception, and people saying all types of things, even proclaiming prophecies, those things will show up as being wrong. That's why we have to stay close to our Bibles, reading, proving what is right. You know, if we start to fall away from doing this, reading our Bibles, we'll be easily swept away by someone else's words. If it's not based on the Bible, then it's false. You know, if there was no work left to continue, why would God have called us now? What purpose would there be for us to be called first fruits? What need would he have for us? Shouldn't God then come by tomorrow if there's no need to preach the gospel? If there's no need to preach the gospel, why doesn't he come back right now? Now, brethren, God wants us involved in his work. It's a work that he has prepared. And even if it comes down to it, we may have to be willing to suffer for this gospel. But it's a job that obviously is not finished. Let's look at Matthew 24 and verse 3. It says, "As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" And he goes through and he lists things like people will be saying that they are Christ, deceiving many. There'll be wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilences, sorrows. But look what he says in verse 14. It says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. Then the end will come." The Philadelphia era was indeed under Mr. Armstrong. But even towards the end of his life, he wondered if he was seeing the start of the Laodicea era. I would say today that, yes, we are in the Laodicea era. But God says to stay strong at all times. Verse 13 of Matthew 24 says, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." The job of preaching the gospel has to continue. As a warning, not for the sake of trying to convert people, but for the warning. If some come along and are converted, that's God's doing. It's His timing. But think about Noah, a great example. It says that he was a preacher of righteousness, yet he was one out of six people that were saved to start over. But he too preached the gospel, and no one wanted to hear what he had to say. No one. It's God's decision, and He will send Christ at the right time. But until that time, it's our job to continue preaching the gospel. And we are going to do that.